If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com. No more waiting in lines, messy cars, and digging through a lackluster selection. Just visit fastgrowingtrees.com and choose from thousands of varieties of trees, shrubs, and plants, expertly curated to thrive in your area. Now through July 31st, visit fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana for 15% off.
Well, it seemed like she spent more time at the airport than she spent at the border. But to literally say that they inherited a problem and they made progress, none of those facts play out. You have a border that was secure. You have a new administration that changed executive orders and invited people to rush the border illegally. Now in May, we had 180,000 encounters. That was a 21-year record of illegal crossings.
So,
welcome to the show. It's Monday. Apparently, microphones have to be connected in order for them to work. I don't know. I guess they just... I'm not in the best mood today. Welcome to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's good to be here, though, with everything going on. And I'll get into all of that here coming up. So this, a lot of things to get into. I mean, we could sit here and have a conversation as it relates to border issues, but the border hasn't changed. Don't think it's a lack of concern that I have about it. I'm just so tired of talking about the same damn thing every single damn day. I'd rather literally bleed to death, I think, laying out in the middle of a road in the desert heat with vultures circling overhead than have to talk for one more damn day about the same situation that has not changed one bit at the border. So now that we've established that, let's move on to a couple of other things, because guess what? People are still crossing illegally. La, la, la. I had people pitching me all the time like, hey, do you want to talk about this border? What's changed? What have you done to change it? Oh, you just want to lecture about it and climb on your soapbox about it? GTFO. I have zero patience. If you haven't done anything, get out. So we've got a lot to discuss today. It's Monday. Like I said, danalash.com. Good to be with you. A lot of things to go over because while, I mean, even though you have technically Congress that's supposed to be going back, having a little mini kind of a mini recess, I guess you could say mini recess, there's still a lot of things going down. I had 3 stupid things that I want to discuss with you today, at least right off the bat, because we're going to get into some of the latest with foreign policy. We're also going to discuss the latest with CRT, because now, I mean, you knew that it was going to be infecting everything from sports to entertainment to academics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's with the Olympics, too. We're going to discuss that. We're going to get into the latest with coronavirus. And now you've been hearing this phrase, the Delta variant. I've done some looking at this, the Delta variant. In fact, I mean, from what I've seen, the fatality isn't any higher than what I've seen with anything else. So I'm not quite sure why everyone's, I mean, it's the, you also have to understand that with vaccines, it's only targeting specific, I mean, you're targeting the known strains. There's going to be certain unknowns, and vaccines are not going to be able to cover absolutely everything with that. It's just the way it is. So we're going to get into all of this and more. 3 stupid things right off the bat. Number one, I'm going to really try very, very hard to keep a civil tongue in my head with y'all today, especially when I see things like this. So I'm not familiar with the people at the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Again, I'm going to try really, really hard to keep a civil tongue in my head. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, they came out with this video and they said that that they are totally happy to make wishes come true for terminally ill children. so long as they're vaccinated. Listen to this.
Now, we've consulted with doctors and medical professionals throughout the National Medical Advisory Council, and we've been monitoring public health organizations like the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And based on their collective guidance, today we're making a big step forward in delivering hope to you, our Wish kids, and our Wish families. I'm excited to share that Make-A-Wish will resume granting air travel wishes within the United States and its territories, as well as granting wishes involving large gatherings for vaccinated Wish families as soon as September 15th of 2021.
Vaccinated Wish families, so they're...
All Wish participants, including your Wish kid and any siblings, will need to be 2 weeks past completion of either a one-dose or a two-dose vaccine.
What I would like to do is get a giant inflatable middle finger. And you know how some of like the union protests, they get those big rats? I want that, but I want a giant middle finger, and I want to put it in front of this. I want to put it, follow, just put it on the back of a truck, follow this guy wherever he goes. So this is the CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, who's, you don't need to be playing politics with any of this stuff. This is so ridiculous. So ridiculous. So this guy, the CEO, he makes fat bank, apparently, according to the 990 for the organization. I mean, he earned over $607,000 last year. I'm not going to sit here and begrudge someone for engaging in capitalism, but he doesn't engage in capitalism. That's not what he's doing. He's making six figures off of asking money for sick kids. Oh, get mad. So this, I mean, it's true. Where's the lie? He lives in almost a $5 million home. Where's the lie? So he's essentially, I mean, they're incorporating discrimination to deny terminally ill children wishes, and all because they want to politicize a vaccine. That's it. You can put whatever Kittens and Sunshine, fuzzy little Sarah McLachlan music that you want in the background. That doesn't change the fact of what's happening. I saw this and I just thought, well, how sickening at a time when families are struggling the most. And virtue signaling is not charity. It is not charity. This isn't even approved for kids. I know the CDC wants to suggest that it is, but the World Health Organization, I mean, if everyone wants to put stock in organizations that all, you know, worked with each other in order to deny what was actually happening, just saying, just unbelievable. So that's one stupid thing. The next stupid thing that I have to get to is the situation with Team USA. Now, this all actually, all of this that I'm talking about, these aren't singular issues. They're all individually part of something larger that we're going to be discussing. Think about the regular themes that we have been seeing in this show. The regular themes that we've been seeing. The first is we've been discussing critical race theory, and we've been discussing economics and economic, you know, Marxism and all of this other stuff. Everything is all a tributary of these bigger issues. So you have the situation with Team USA. It's Olympic hammer thrower. They had their team, their Olympic qualifications and blah, 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 blah. So they were all competing. I just don't care. I was dealing with a million things this weekend. And great, yay. And Gwen Berry qualified for her second U.S. Olympic team during the trials. And so, I mean, even though they're all Americans, you know, and they're all, this is just, you know, can you qualify to get on the team? They all go to do the podium and they get medals and all that anyway. So they go up there and she's standing up there with Deanna Price and Brooke Anderson. All women, they're all up there and they're all standing on the podium. And I think it's Deanna Price that ended up being first. She was first, so she got on the middle podium. And second place finisher, Brooke Anderson. So Gwen Berry placed third. She placed third and she got, she was able to get the bronze medal because they give out the medals. So she gets up there and they have a schedule that they send out, you would think, you know, at these Olympic qualification things. They have a schedule that they send out and it says when something's going to happen, what time something's going to happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they said that the American anthem is going to play X amount of times a day. And these are the times that it's going to play. And apparently one of the times that it's going to play is at 5 whatever p.m. And that's the exact time that they ended up finishing. And then they had their little award ceremony. And she's up there on the podium and the American anthem plays. And so Gwen Berry decides to stand there in a meme. This is going to be like forever a meme. Everyone else is like turning, you know, towards the flag, hand over the heart, et cetera, et cetera. She's standing there, her hand on her hip, her bouquet down, and she's making this insane face. And I'm trying to figure out like what level of Ardell lashes those are that girlfriend's got, because what glue she's using. Because if you can be out there in the sun and then things do not melt off your face, I mean, kudos. So she had a fit. She said she was mad that they were playing it. She said it felt like a setup. You know, a setup where they put it on a piece of paper and in an email, and they publish the schedule out days in advance every single day telling you what time the anthem is going to play. But it's a setup, apparently, because words don't have any meanings anymore. So she turned away. Since she grabbed a T-shirt that said athlete activist, and she said the flag doesn't represent me, and she was mad, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, what a brat. A grown-ass woman brat standing up there on the podium, robbing that moment away from the first and second place finishers. I mean, everybody wants to be Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, who was ranked 17th and was sucking out loud and did not have a shot in hell of going any further until he decided, well, you know, I don't have anything to lose. Let's risk it for the biscuit. And here we go. And then he ends up getting, because he decided to trade in the cleats to become an activist. You know, you do you and you do whatever you got to get your name out there. But don't sit here and act like you're oppressed when you're making millions and millions and millions of dollars and you have opportunities afforded to you that other people could only dream of, black, white, whatever. Same situation with this, with Gwen Berry standing there on the podium. Or not really. I mean, just kind of hemming and hawing and then having a fit. I felt bad for those other two women that were up there, because that may be the only time these chicks ever get up on the podium, and their moment is forever marred now by this tantrum that this grown woman threw. Like, nobody has even any courtesy at all for anyone else. It's all about them in that moment. This is one of the problems with America right now, is because everyone is a self-involved navel-gazing brat, and I'm done with it. I'm done coddling people who are navel-gazing brats. I'm done coddling people who want to sit here and act like they are the most oppressed people on God's green earth, but you live in a country that affords you more opportunity and more advantages than anywhere else. Furthermore, I don't know any other country that has spent 6% of its population righting its past wrongs. So that's the other dumb thing. What? How are we on time? I have 0 o'clock.
You do have to work tomorrow.
Okay. The third thing is China. The National Archives going after its own rotunda and the founding fathers for what they say is structural racism. We're going to talk about all of that. We're also going to get into with the U.S. carrying out airstrikes in Iraq and Syria. And so that, I know that took place. We got news of that Sunday evening. We're going to discuss that, get into all of that. We'll also get into some of the latest as it relates to other foreign policy issues. Nike says that China is Nike's for China and China likes Nike. So there you go. You've probably upgraded a few things around the house after being stuck inside. It makes sense. Now's the time to turn your yard into a paradise with FastGrowingTrees.com. Skip the big box stores and head to FastGrowingTrees.com, the world's largest online nursery. No more waiting in lines, messy cars, and digging through a lackluster selection. Just visit FastGrowingTrees.com and choose from thousands of varieties of trees, shrubs, plants, all expertly curated to thrive in your area and delivered to your door in 1 or 2 days. After the freeze here in Dallas this past winter, we lost a bunch of trees and shrubs, and I'm going to be using Fast Growing Trees to replace some of what we lost. And I love their shop by location feature on their website. It makes it very easy. Plus, the 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee means your plants will arrive happy, healthy, and ready for planting. Now through July 31st, visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana for 15% off. That's 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so I didn't watch. I used to watch like music shows and all of that. And then I don't know, maybe it's because I've turned into my parents. And my parents were always like, your guys' music sucks. It's horrible. You know, the best days were like the old rock and roll days, etc. Maybe I'm like that anyway. So I didn't even watch, like, I didn't watch BET. I don't watch like AMAs. I don't watch any of that. So Lil Nas showed up I don't know, like a cultural whore. I don't know, like shows up in this whole thing and you're going to like likening the Catholic Church to Nazism. And I'm not even Catholic. I'm just like, why do this? Like, why do this stuff? By the way, do you realize that the only reason that people like constantly make fun of Christians is because Christians don't go around cutting everyone's heads off? Thank you. That's why. Moving on down the line. Also, I'm going to talk more about this coming up, but there was a man in Chicago who was charged with shooting a tourist, killing passerby. The reason that he was even out in the first place to commit this crime is because prosecutors in several other charges that he had against him, they dropped the previous felony gun charges that were against this guy. He's a repeat offender. He's a violent offender, et cetera, et cetera. And he ended up being out on another wrist slap, and he was able to once again illegally get a hold of a firearm that he used then to murder someone. Another day in Chicago. This is what drives the city's crime rate. Additionally, this story comes via New York Post. This one politician, he's been one of these like defund the police kind of guys, U.S. Rep. Jamal Bowman, and he's a big champion of defunding police. But he also demanded special police detail to guard his Yonkers home. So wait a minute, which is it? Are you for defunding the police or are you not for defunding the police? I'm just curious. Stanford scientists are creating superhero vaccine based on the DNA of Olympic athletes. They say because the way, you know, really Olympic athletes, it's because they train, because they're incredibly disciplined, because they have great diets, et cetera, right? But they said that they do want to study how to prevent deaths from leading causes of death, like heart disease, Alzheimer's, and they're trying to figure out a way to make people more resilient to these issues, more resilient to these diseases. Chris Cuomo wore socks with skulls on them while visiting the Miami building collapse. That just seems like it was bad. And the guy who plays Sebastian Bach in Skid Row, Johnny Solinger, he's dead. He passed away over the weekend as well. Coming up, coronavirus. Why haven't they fully made the FDA the vaccine legal yet?
Google is destroying our right to privacy, and critical race theory is invading our schools. Hi, I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich joins me to discuss how he is fighting back against these threats to our freedom and much more. I'll also take you inside my reporting on the horrific human trafficking that is happening in Texas and, by the way, all around the country, and how Biden administration policies are making this nightmare much worse. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
Well, I'm not sure that whatever I say to him would have any impact whatsoever. But just on the off chance that it would, I would say, please do the right thing. Acknowledge reality. Stop hurting this country. Stop undermining democracy. Honor the great and honorable traditions of the United States of America. This cannot go on the way it is.
So that's, you guys remember him, right? Al Gore?
Oh, yeah.
The guy who asked a number of masseuses to help him release his second chakra when he was going in for massages. Massages. Right? You guys, did I scare you all? Did I, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be like that. I didn't mean to like terrify and traumatize you all. You're like, Dana, it's only Monday and you're already talking about the release of second chakras. Stop it. So welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. We were going over just some of the goofy, because it's kind of a slow news cycle, not so totally much, but sort of. I don't even know why he was speaking out about all this stuff. I really don't.
You remember, I think it was 2012 or something, he said the world would be underwater by 2013.
Yeah, all our polar bears would be dead.
Yep.
Man. We're not supposed to have any anymore. Do you guys know that?
Good old Al Gore.
Where did that go? Where did the polar bears go? Why have they not gone? Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like them. I don't want anything to happen to them. But still, you know what I'm saying? I'm just... So, couple of items that I wanted to share with y'all. Was telling you about the stupid stuff. I got a lot here, actually. We had this. Did you guys watch the or hear about the U.S. Carrying out airstrikes in Iraq and Syria? I actually am not. I think that this was kind of a JV sort of move. First off, I'm always worried whenever we just start lobbing missiles over at someone and I understand that the Office of the Executive have certain allowances under the Constitution and that there are certain things that they can do to protect American interests. I get that. And apparently this was some kind of deterrence to prevent further strikes because or further aggressive actions towards our troops because they've had drone bombings and all of the like all of this other stuff that Iran has been trying to take out against our interests. So I understand it to that extent, but I get very nervous about things not going through proper protocol. By proper protocol, I mean Congress. But I do think I just remember last week we had this headline and we talked a bit about it. Actually, it was mostly a headline. The new president-elect of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, he said that he is unwilling to meet Joe Biden. Remember that. That was an Associated Press piece originally. And this was as the Biden administration was hoping to talk with them because they're trying to get some kind of relations built with Tehran. And they want a new deal before the new government is formed because they don't believe that. I think that they think that the new president is a little too hostile to Biden, the president-elect of Iran. And so he basically said, no, we're not at all negotiating over Tehran's ballistic missile program. No, we're not at all negotiating over Iran's support of regional militias. So I think, and part of me thinks that the reason that we had these strikes is because, and also keep in mind, Biden's already eased the number of economic sanctions against Iran. Still no negotiations with them at all. To me, it just kind of seems like this was sort of something for him to do to make him look like he's carrying out some kind of positive action because he's not really. It just didn't seem to be full-hearted. It just seemed to be kind of reactionary to being denied this key piece. And it was interesting because Biden had apparently wanted to go over some of the stuff that Iran had agreed to during the Obama-Biden administration, and they rejected him over that. They said no. He was apparently desperate to have these talks with Tehran. They said no. So that's no negotiation at all. No movement towards this. No momentum has at all been formed through the easing of these sanctions or anything else. So that's why I seem to think this is kind of just like a way to make it. I don't know. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about it coming up, but it seems half-hearted. It doesn't seem to be something that they're not really standing up to Iran. This is kind of just sort of a half-hearted attempt to stand up to Iran or to try to nudge them and say we're serious about what we said. We want to have these negotiations. So we're going to talk more about this. But I looked at that with some wariness. And then going on, looking towards the other side of the globe, China said Nike is a brand that is of China and for China. That's the company CEO. That's what they said of China this week amid allegations that the company is being implicated in human rights violations. So that's where Nike stands. That's John Donahoe, the new Nike CEO. He says, we've always taken a long-term view. We've been in China over 40 years because they buy a lot of stuff. If you're friendly with the CCP, you get to engage in crony capitalism. If you're not in with the CCP, as we saw with Jimmy Lai, you're totally going to be disappeared, which is crazy that that's a verb like that, but it is. So there you go. This does not seem, well, I don't feel bad about not wanting. I just don't like companies that, you know, you do you, but I can't give companies like this my money. I just can't. Because you realize, and yes, there was a larger investigation and it wasn't carried out by conservative outlets either, I'll have you know, where they were investigating and trying to see exactly who was making the product there with Nike. And yes, the reason there was a lot of controversy about it was because you were looking at some of these camps in the Xinjiang province, where it was the Uyghurs that were forced to make some of these products. And that's one of the reasons this controversy exploded. But I think Nike's and some of these other countries are signaling, particularly Nike right now, they're going to go, their allegiance is wherever the money is. I just remember in history, and one of my favorite exhibits in the Smithsonian, in the American History Museum, I'm not a fan of government propaganda, but I always did find it fascinating, the propaganda that came about because of, during World War II, even World War I, but particularly World War II. My favorite is the poster of the people in a car, and it says, if you're not carpooling, you're riding with Hitler, because they were trying to get everybody to conserve gas and conserve all of this. You remember all of that? Like, there was such a national effort to conserve resources for so that it could be used towards defeating Nazism, National Socialism, by the way, that... women changed how they dressed. They changed their hairstyles. Every single thing was all designed to maximizing existing resource and saving future resource for the war effort. That's why they started doing those victory rolls with their hair. That's what they were called, victory rolls. The dress, the style of pant, everything, victory gardens. And I was just fascinated by how everyone realized that there was a greater threat than the petty divisions that they had domestically. There was a greater threat that if successful, it was going to make all of the petty divisions that they had domestically seem so inconsequential. They were absolutely nothing compared to what they could be facing. And everyone seemed to be sensible, and they realized that no one was willing to risk the security and stability of the United States on petty domestic fights. And I don't know that you even saw this to an extent after 9/11. I don't know as a country that we'd ever get back to that point. I just don't think it's possible. I think it's already that ship sailed. I'm a cynic, but I'm being honest about it at least. I'm not going to sit here and speculate. That's just kind of how I look at stuff. I think about it just like with, the Olympics and all of this stuff. It's because it's all CRT. Here's the other thing, and I'm going to talk about this here coming up. They're trying to... So my youngest child's school, there was a hire made, and I'm a little concerned about a lot of the language that the hire had used in their previous employment. And you guys know me. We got an email from the school that said that there had been a position created for this particular hire. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, why was this announced? Like, after the fact, And my kids go to a private, I send my kids to a private Christian school, A, because it's America, and B, because I homeschool them because I can, and it's my damn business and not anybody else's. So I'm not a perfect person. But I send them to, because I want them to be better than me. But I was looking at this, I was looking at some of the language and everything else that was being used in this hire's workplace and some of the things that they had said, and I was very troubled. I was very troubled to see people like Abram Kendi cited. I was very troubled to see people like Tim Wise cited. Abram Kendi is the guy who said that white families that adopt any children of color are colonizers, and he thinks it's better for those children to languish away in government care as opposed to be adopted by loving families. I mean, these are things that he's not only said on video, but he's actually tweeted in tweets that still remain up. And then there's the Tim Wise guy who said that, well, because black children don't get any peace, white children should never have any peace either. And I mean, I'm just thinking, how is this in any way a good thing to lavishly praise as this hire has done and use that to shape your purview? So I sent an email out, and I know a lot of other parents did. I emailed the whole school board. Oh, I emailed everybody. And I'm like, we demand a public meeting about all of this, because this is, first off, we're parents. I absolutely will be a thorn in the side of someone who thinks that I don't go where my dollars go and where my children goes. We pay people. We have a relationship. We pay people for this education. And I expect not only a certain level of participation that is procured with the investment of tuition, but I absolutely, as a parent, demand a seat at the table for big issues like this. So now we're having, it looks like we're going to have a big discussion, big conversation about this. So this is the other thing that we've kind of been dealing with over the past couple of days. And I see how, there is not a single area safe. If you think that your area or that your school, your kid's school or whatever, I don't have to worry about this. I'd bet the house that y'all do. I bet y'all do. You absolutely have to be concerned about it, because it's absolutely everywhere. I see it creeping into churches with that ethnic Gnosticism that Vodi Bakum talks so much about, and he's absolutely right. I see it everywhere. The higher in particular had used the phrase educational equity. And we all understand the difference between equity and equality, correct? I'll go into greater depth here coming up, but the difference between equity and equality is that equality guarantees that everyone is going to be treated the same. There is going to be an impartial system. Everyone will be treated the same. That is the nature of our republic, by the way. Everyone is equal before the law, and everyone is equal beneath it when it's broken. Everyone's treated the same. The outcomes are up to the individual. But what equity does, equity says, we're going to throw impartiality out the window, and everyone is going to be treated differently to achieve the same outcome. That is equity. That is what that's what that means. And you cannot achieve something like that without having massive government micromanaging of every aspect of life. Furthermore, you cannot achieve something like that without institutionalizing actual discrimination. That is what people are talking about. That's why they moved away from the word equality and they began discussing equity. And I was incredibly troubled to see that this hire had used the phrase educational equity. The intimation is that there is a major disparity between black students and white students, or Hispanic students and black students, because apparently Hispanic students and Asian students are considered white adjacent, according to CRT advocates. I'm just citing what they've said. I know it's insane, but whatever. And so the idea is that because there's this educational equity, then discrimination has to be implemented and institutionalized within education, even in the K-12 area. And I'm reading just some of the phrases that this person used. Let me tell you something. For anyone who sits here and tells you that this is not CRT, you tell them to sit down and get a lesson. It absolutely is critical race theory. Whether or not they want to call it critical race theory, the exact phenomena that is happening that is incorporating these very principles that I'm discussing, it's the principles of critical race theory, regardless of whether they want to call it that or not. We're going to talk more about this coming up. And additionally, the National Archives, they're going after its own rotunda. This is, again, that's a CRT thing. We're going to discuss that. We'll talk more about the Olympics. We're also going to get into why hasn't the FDA fully approved the coronavirus vaccines, and all of the talk about the Delta variant. We're going to discuss that and a lot of other stuff. Biden walks back his threat on the infrastructure deal. We got a lot of things coming up that you don't want to miss. And you can also stream our show on the Odyssey app. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
DanaLash.com. And yeah, you can check out our audit. Well, not ours. I don't actually run it. The Odyssey app. Maybe I do, and I don't know. Because our show streams there also. So I realized as I was saying ours that people were going to be like, wait a minute, you run that? I don't. So there you go. So again, DanaLash.com. Welcome to the show. It's good to be with you. So I was, we're just so you know, if you follow me on Instagram, we've been dealing with kind of a lot of stuff, dealing with family issues, dealing with, you know, one of my parents who was in a pretty serious automobile accident. And we're trying to see how, you know, serious things are going to be from here out, dealing with that and some of the stuff that's now going on in our kids' school. And then one of my dogs, and you guys know, I'm not going to explain it to anybody. I have an irrational attachment to my dogs. I love dogs. I think, I'm not joking, I like dogs better than I like most people. And Louis all of a sudden developed serious seizures. He went from, last week he started having repeated grand mal seizures. And every time he went to sleep, he would have a grand mal seizure. He had 4 grand mal seizures in a period of 24 hours, like 24 hours and 20 minutes, basically, in that period. So he went into the, he's been in the animal hospital 3 times already. He's there now. We're doing one last test. We've done blood work, scans. He doesn't have a tumor, because that's usually like a brain tumor in a dog that triggers that. It's not that. There's nothing in his blood work that suggests it. So it's either an enzyme in his liver that could be triggering it, which I pray, because it's fixable. Or if it's not, we're going to have some serious conversations, because his situation is deteriorating relatively fast. He had nonstop seizures all day yesterday. I mean, when I say nonstop, I'm not the, when I put on my Insta story, him nonstop with the focalized seizure. And this is even when he's on anticonvulsants, it just didn't stop. So prayers for our pup would be very much appreciated. As we get moving on, and we'll have an answer today. As we get moving on, cancel culture, coronavirus, vaccine, CRT, tech because of the Jim Jordan bill, and should I buy Toyota? Let's talk about trust, something that's important to do with so much defunding and canceling going on. Do you know that many wireless companies support left-wing causes that take away our freedoms and tear down our traditional beliefs? Patriot Mobile is different. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to causes you and I care about, like First and Second Amendment rights, sanctity of life, supporting first responders and veterans. There's no better time than now, when we celebrate our freedom and Independence Day, to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and get even more value. $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment, or 50% off your first 2 months plus free premier activation. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Switch to Patriot Mobile, a company you can trust to support your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
It's a disgrace, and you didn't have it or hear it, but it existed during us, and I ended it. I would terminate it everywhere it popped up its ugly head. We would terminate it, and we terminated it very strongly. I mean, we really went after it, and it ended. And as soon as they came in, they're back to putting it up. And General Milley, and I watched his statement. It was pathetic. I watched the statements of some others, your head of the Navy. It was pathetic.
I wonder what Trump thinks about that General Milley testimony. Anybody have any ideas? I mean, I know it's such a mystery. I don't know. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's Monday. It's kind of a tough day. I get some news about one of my pups today. So please keep them in your prayers. And as we are going through everything with today, that was the former president talking about General Mark Milley. Now, we had talked about, I think we talked about Friday, right? General Mark Milley on Friday, and his argument on, I mean, he was using a critical race theory argument, and he would speak specifically about the wokeness in the military. And no, but we don't need any wokeness in the military. It needs to be about military preparedness. So very, very interesting. As I was telling you a little bit earlier, they keep trying to push critical race theory. And now we're dealing with critical race theory in my youngest child's school. And so I sent a big letter to our school, and I'm not going to name anybody, because I always, you know, I always go privately and, you know, handle the situation. But I also think that for any parent out there who thinks that they're not dealing with this in their kid's school, I have a news flash for you. If you think that you're not dealing with it, it's because you're not paying attention. And that's true. The phrase educational equity, as I was just talking about previously, there was this hire that my youngest child's school made, and the parents weren't asked. It was something that it was announced, and this is a private school. And it was just kind of announced. Parents were not allowed to weigh in. And had parents been allowed to weigh in, I think parents would have had a lot of questions. because one of the things that is taught, one of the things that was being taught by this new hire at their previous school is that, for instance, poverty is the result of racism. That's what they were teaching these students, and they had made a big, they made a speech about it. They had, there was a whole presentation that they had given that poverty is the result of racism. And so whenever this hire was speaking to students at their previous school, they were telling what they said were underprivileged students that, well, your family's poverty isn't because of something that just happened. It's because of racism. And I thought that's insane, because first off, it's problematic on a couple of fronts. One can believe that racism absolutely does exist, but you can also simultaneously reject the claim that systemic racism exists. And to reject this idea of systemic racism doesn't turn a blind eye to actual existing racism that exists. Furthermore, racism is not an excuse for poverty. I grew up poor. I grew up the child of a single mother. And I made mention of the school. I said, I was so situated by the head of the household's dereliction of their godly duty. I go, we couldn't afford notebook paper for school. I was afforded no special privilege. I was mocked for being poor as a kid. So I reject the idea that systemic racism created that economic inequality, therefore creating that buzzword privilege. And that's the logical conclusion that goes to. You know, and even in this, There was something still that if people wanted to have the discussion about what is or is not systemic racism, you could go back to, for instance, you could go all the way back to the New Deal. You could go back to the quote unquote urban renewal and the Housing Act of 49. That was a party's plan for recreating, I guess you could say, neighborhoods. It was all part of FDR's New Deal, 1933. There was a housing shortage because of the Great Depression, and that there was the Homeowners Loan Corporation. They formed it to try to halt further foreclosures, refinancing, etc. And so things that required large down payments and had to be paid off within like 10 years, you know, people could do much longer term, lower interest, with 10% down. And one of the things, as has been written about, one of the ways that they determined eligibility is that they created color-coded maps of metro areas all around the country. They would have green areas that they rated A, and those were considered just the best, the people who were most qualified for refinancing. Red areas that were rated D, that were considered the worst. And when they were looking at the map and how things were situated, this was one of the things where you had that when you had the Federal Housing Administration that was created in 1934, everything was designed, it was all being designed, because that was the discriminatory program that they were using under the New Deal. And under FDR, these policies and these urban renewals, the neighborhoods that they said were problematic, like in those times and in the 60s, those were the same, the ones that they said that were problematic in the 60s were the areas that had been declared to be like red zones in the 30s, right? And so when they were designing the interstate highways, that's where you hear some of the stories like, oh, even the highways were dividing up communities. There is some truth to the quote unquote systemic racism of that, but it wasn't from all America. It was from one party. And I find it incredibly ironic that it's the one party that ideology. And there are so many receipts, this is history, that contributed to those programs, that created those programs, implemented those programs, carried them out, set the financial policy, etc. That's who people who advocate for CRT, they vote for that same party today. Doesn't make any sense to me. I was really confused and concerned about this hire, because the hire is apparently going to be involved in picking curriculum and influencing curriculum. And no, because and the whole thing, and I'll say it again, if you want to know the difference, and my friend Chris Rufo has a great primer on and critical race theory. Equality is treating everyone the same, regardless of outcomes, and equity is treating everyone differently to achieve the same outcomes. Equity, obliterates, it removes totally impartiality, and it institutionalizes discrimination in order to achieve the same outcome. This is one of those situations where whatever means are justified by the ends. And this, by the way, is something that is already written into Joe Biden's educational plan. That's why I say, if you think that it's not already in your kid's school, I don't think that you're paying attention. And if you are and it hasn't yet, it's coming. Because the woke classroom, as a friend of mine wrote, is going federal. The Department of Education, they're going to impose CRT, not just like the 1619, but the whole quote-unquote anti-racism of Ibram Kendi. And Kendi, he's the one who said that Amy Coney Barrett, that she was a colonizer because her family adopted children of color, and that's like the position that he has on everybody, that there's no such thing as non-racism. He doesn't believe that you can't not be racist. It's crazy. But there's a new rule where they are establishing grants for American history and civics education programs through the Department of Education that is all based on these critical race theory principles. And that's the whole position. There was Charles Lehman had a great piece over at Newsweek not long ago, actually earlier this month. And I love because he gets into and defines it. Critical race theory, I've been talking about this since 2012. I was on CNN talking about critical race theory. It began with Derrick Bell in Harvard, and it was this idea that there are institutions that were created, and by institutions, I mean the Republic of the United States, that was created by white supremacists and to be completely favorable only to white people. And that as a result, there is not a single bit, not the justice system, but even more so, just like very neutral principles like law and constitutional recognition, natural law, etc., that nothing at all whatsoever can ever be viewed as being impartial because the founding of the country is in question. And so as a result, it has to be completely deconstructed and rebuilt into something that better reflects what they say is the disparity between it's Marxism, but it uses racial identity instead of economic identity. That's the difference, essentially, with critical race theory. But to my point, Charles Lehman, who is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, had a great piece, and he was writing about this. And he said that defenders of critical race theory make two points. One is that the term critical race theory is being applied overly broadly and therefore meaninglessly. Critical race theory refers to the particular philosophical and scholarly tradition, and those who attack it today are so badly misusing the term as to invalidate their arguments. The other is that critics are motivated by a desire to keep hard truths about America's historical intolerance out of the classroom, lest white students feel uncomfortable. He says point one can be technically correct. CRT refers to a scholarly tradition that emerged out of legal academy in the 70s and 80s. And it's certainly true that school kids are not being forced to read the works of Derrick Bell or Kimberly Crenshaw in class. But this sort of semantic objection doesn't negate the existence of a real phenomenon to which critics are affixing a crisp label. Nor does it remove the fact that the phenomenon plainly draws on the language and some of the ideas of critical race theory as applied to education as it has been for nearly three decades. He said point two is a prototypical straw man, as though opponents of CRT hear of the Ku Klux Klan and think too hard to hear about that. Hogwash. No one critical of CRT believes that America's history should be whitewashed. Texas's bill banning CRT explicitly compels teaching, quote, the history of white supremacy and the ways in which it is morally wrong, end quote. That's, by the way, codified in the bill, for example. He says that what is concerning and what CRT's critics are responding so vociferously to are the excesses and abuses that these arguments are meant to downplay or obfuscate. And he's absolutely right. Absolutely correct. We're going to talk more about this here coming up. Also, with all of this, we were getting into some of the Olympic stuff, and I'm going to, by the way, I'm also going to put all of this in the email too, where you'll be able to get it in the prep email. Well, with this too, whether it is, you know, CRT, whether it's something that we're seeing, you know, culturally, something that we're seeing even in sports, it's just getting so incredibly tiresome. And one of the things that I always ask everybody is, when did this start? When did you start paying attention to this? And from every parent I've ever spoken to and every advocate that's been against this implementation of this institutionalized Marxist racism in school, it's that because of the lockdown. And I know people are still reeling from the effects of the lockdown, but I will have you know this. I think if there's any bright side at all to be gleaned from it, if there could be, is that parents, for the first time, were really forced to pay attention, such careful attention to what their children were doing, that what they saw shocked them. And that is why there's this uproar, that you wouldn't have found it without the lockdown. So maybe, I'm just saying, there's a way to look at that weird, odd, bright side, if there is to be one in all of this. We have a lot more on the way, including Democrats. A former Democratic congresswoman blames Jewish people for 9/11. Oh, my gosh. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So this group that loves to try to cancel everybody online all the time, they're called Citizens for Ethics, or CREW. They said if you buy a Toyota, you're funding the politicians who tried to overturn the election, which I don't recall any politician trying to overturn the election, except for maybe Al Gore. But so now I feel like I've never purchased a Toyota, but now I'm suddenly interested. Just because CREW hates them. I'm that person. Just because CREW doesn't like them, maybe I should then. Maybe something I'll do. I don't know. So that's I had to share that with you because people were like, what are you talking about with Toyota? Is this going to make their games more interesting? WNBA announces 99% of its players are fully vaccinated. Just asking. Kane and I are wondering. Military report says Space Force must prepare for Moon War. That actually sounds like an amazing sci-fi movie. Moon War. It's a war for the moon. True. It's a true story. This is something that, well, I mean, it seems, and by moon warfare, I would imagine, like, who's going to claim it, right? Isn't that kind of what they're kind of getting into? But Space Force with satellite and, you know, all of this stuff. Remember when Reagan talked about it and everyone thought it was crazy, and now here we are. Also, this seems like some kind of Monty Python skit. A dragon man claimed as a potential new human species after analysis of a skull was found in China. Or maybe it could have been one guy that just didn't have his skull like all the other skulls that were found, and now we're basing and trying to say that there's an entire species because of this. It seems very Monty Python-esque. Stick with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
This weekend, Glenn Barry, who hopes to represent the United States as an Olympian on the hammer throwing events, won a bronze medal at the trials, and then she turned her back on the flag while the anthem played. Does President Biden think that is appropriate behavior for someone who hopes to represent Team USA?
Well, Peter, I haven't spoken to the president specifically about this, but I know he's incredibly proud to be an American and has great respect for the anthem and all that it represents, especially for our men and women serving in uniform all around the world. He would also say, of course, that part of that pride in our country means recognizing there are moments where we are, as a country, haven't lived up to our highest ideals. And it means respecting the right of people granted to them in the Constitution to peacefully protest.
It's hammer throwing. Golly, I thought we were going to be going to the moon. And now we're all like, I'm upset because somebody played something during my hammer throwing competition. Well, place third. Girl, you place third in the qualifications. Shh. That's first place gets to complain, not you. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. You got the, what is it? You got the, what's the phrase? Champagne taste on a beer budget. You have first place attitude with a third place reality. Stop. Make sure you go subscribe to Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff. and all kinds of good things up there. Go and get it. Go and subscribe, danalash.com. And make sure to check out the Odyssey app because we stream on the Odyssey app as well. Go and stream. You can stream us there too. So I actually had like a million different pieces that I was going to share on this, but this was the press conference that just actually took place just a little bit ago with the spokesperson for the president, etc. I'm still getting some really amazing audio, by the way, Kane. I'm going to send this over to you where she talks. Oh my gosh, everything's just is so ridiculous. Here, I'm going to send this over to you. This is live radio. I'm dropping this because it's the presser was ongoing. It's just still wrapping up. But she was saying that she had spoken to the president and, you know, she says that she, you know, supports the Olympics and that her response on this was that, there's some things that have happened in the country, et cetera. And that's why this is. And I just think that I feel really bad for the first and second place the women that were standing there because their whole thing was robbed by this girl who's complaining. Look, I get it that she wants to cancel the flag. And because that's what Gwen Berry wants to do. And Jen Psaki says, well, you know, America, by respecting those people who recognize when we haven't lived up to our highest ideals. No country has lived up to its highest ideals. No person has lived up to their highest ideals because people are flawed, rotten, awful creatures. Horrible, horrible cretins. We are horrible, wretched things. Some just recognize it and others don't. That's the only difference. So I also don't know any other country that has done more to rectify their past wrongs. If you think America's so bad, what's the phrase? Find one better. Find a country that's better. Find a country that's better. People are still mad because I had said, well, then you don't have to compete for the United States. It's fairly simple, and it has like almost 4,000 retweets, and people are still, it was just over the weekend, people are still really mad about it. But it does get into this sort of the CRT thing as well, that, well, this flag doesn't represent everyone, and that people first identify by every other identity factor, first and foremost, an American comes way down the list. That's the opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And that's really where CRT is just antithetical to the founding of the country, because the founding of the country, everyone is equal before the law and underneath it. E Pluribus Unum, from one many. Critical race theory is in a direct contradiction to that. And they want that because that's from where our strength comes from as a nation. From many one. Yeah. So this was also from the presser. Can you play this? This is her electric charging station thing.
People across the country and people who care deeply about addressing our climate crisis know the components of what's in this package, which the president considers a down payment, not the end, a down payment. So 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations nationwide. That's what this would help support, with a focus on our highways and rural and disadvantaged communities.
Yes, because, you know, all the people in rural and disadvantaged communities are just going down there plunking down cash for electric vehicles, right? I mean, don't you know it? Everybody's just running out there, you know. I mean, heck, I know that there's some people down there, some of my kin that have been living down there, and they went out and they done got themselves an electric vehicle. Hell, I don't even know are there Teslas in rural areas? Where my family lives? You'd have to drive for 2.5 hours just to get somewhere near close where they have a Tesla. No joke. You know, it's the Tesla. It's in the parking lot of the Buc-ee's. Y'all know that, right? It's in the parking lot of the Buc-ee's. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I wrong? No, Dana, you're not. Kane, I don't even think there's any in, like, are there Teslas like in South County, like in our hometown, St. Louis? I'm sure there's like right?
I mean, I see them a lot more on, on the streets.
I see them on the street, but that's like still, they're not cheap.
No, they're not. Actually, I think Ford is coming out with a truck that's supposedly, reasonably priced, considering what it
What's reasonably priced?
I think like 30, 40,000.
I love how we're coming out of this pandemic economy and you have these, you know, white bread socialists there in Washington, D.C. This is, I feel like it's like clueless. Like, you remember that point when Cher was doing the whole like Pismo Beach cleanup and some people lost everything and she was donating her ski equipment and every and all of these other things that normally you don't associate with people being in need for. And her dad was like, well, Cher, where are you taking all this stuff? And she's like, well, Daddy, some people lost everything. Don't you think that includes winter athletic equipment? It's such, it is such a bougie attitude. Oh my gosh, people need electric charging stations for their cars in disadvantaged areas. In disadvantaged areas, they're just trying to figure out how to eat.
And you know, here's the weird thing, because I looked up the data, and since 2010, plug-in electric vehicles, you know, there's the hybrid ones that have their engines as well, but the plug-in electric vehicles since, I guess, 1999 or 2010 until now, mm-hmm. there's only been 1.4 million purchased. So she's asking for 500,000 charging stations for only 1.4 million actual vehicles on the road today.
How about gas? I love it also how they think, look at how environmentally responsible we are being as people. We're having all of these electric charging stations everywhere. Here's my question. Where do you think the power comes from in those electric charging stations? If you had a guess, where Kane, where do you think that power comes from?
Hamsters and wheels?
That's a possibility.
No, I don't know.
Actually, it comes from coal plants. I feel like Sam Kennison. Move to where the food is! It's the power that is in those electric charging stations. The power comes from coal plants. Now, I'm not begrudging you this whole, you know, if you want to go out and get you an electric car, you go and do it. But you, I mean, I'm just looking at a Washington Post piece about this. Oh, and here's New York Times. Oh, and here's Investors. Oh, and here's Popular Mechanics, you know, just in case. I don't begrudge anybody having that, but don't sit here and act as though that's your indulgence that you've paid. Look at me. I am no longer sinning in climate. I've paid my indulgence with my electric vehicle, except it runs on energy that's produced in coal power plants. Not enough of it comes from other renewable sources yet. So don't be like you're the green queen because you're virtue signaling. Yes.
Also, why is this a government
Thank
problem?
You. Thank
because
you.
Because it's clearly mm-hmm. private sector. We're selling these to the private sector. So why wouldn't the company selling these to the private sector realize, okay, we're going to need X amount of these charging stations. We're going to have to work that into our business plan to make this work. Why is the government involved in this at all?
That's a million-dollar question. Why is it involved in it at all? That's the question. It shouldn't be. But seriously, just think about how class warfare this is. You know, some of you out there thinking, girl, we're trying to keep a roof over our head. We are not worried about, oh my gosh, are we going to have an electric charging station to go and charge our electric vehicle at? So curious. Because that's what people who are in rural or disadvantaged areas they're thinking. And don't most people, especially in like the city, I mean, I lived in downtown St. Louis. Everybody I knew, if they didn't drive or if they couldn't afford a car, they took public transit. Where are you going to be put? Where are people going to be parking and plugging up their vehicles at? Right. And then if you're in a rural area, why is it the government's job? Why wouldn't it be the gas stations or somebody? Why couldn't there be like a partnership with the gas station since, you know, fossil fuels are powering most of this anyway? So, I mean, why wouldn't there? I'm just curious. This is not, as Kane was saying, this is not a private sector.
I mean, to me, it's a simple solution. If you're like, say you're coupling with the gas stations, they could have separate generators at those gas stations run on the gas that they actually sell that would power these stations.
But Kane, Scooter's got to go charge his car before it goes out to the fields. He's got to go charge his car before he's got to go check out on his 300 head of cattle. Where's Scooter going to go charge his car at, Kane? Scooter and Tammy, they're only concerned about charging their car. Maybe Ralph's could get them an electric vehicle charger up in their parking lot.
And if it's a disenfranchised community, I think that's way bottom on the list of things that a disenfranchised community would need.
We would love to be able to eat and have money for basic medications. Oh, here's a charging station for the electric vehicle you can't afford.
Exactly.
How crazy is this? This is she Cher from Clueless. Really, except without like the goodwill. Good heavens. I'm just... Does anyone else write? Again, I'm not begrudging you if you have an electric vehicle. And if anybody's going to take offense over that, you're not someone I could be friends with. And I would probably make fun of you in person to your face in a mixed gathering. But still, do you? And you go feel good about you having that electric vehicle. I think that, can I just be real? I don't like things that are totally quiet. That goes for children, animals, and vehicles. My friend has a Tesla. And I was outside in my yard getting my mail, and she like drove right up on me. Like she didn't get me. But I was like, why do you not have a bell on your car? At least they put them on cows. Put one on your damn Tesla. It is so quiet. And you could only, like, if it had been fall and she was crunching leaves and sticks, I'd have heard it, but you don't hear it. It's creepy to me. I don't like that. I want to hear like a gas guzzler because then I can hear you. I don't like tiny things with a lot of attitude, like spiders and some children, like toddlers, like real sassy ones like me when I was a kid. But I don't like things that are totally silent. And those, it's just weird. I don't know. But I mean, they're cool looking cars, but people need to stop acting like they are the valedictorians of the environment simply because they're hiding where their energy comes from.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm almost scared to read this. This is Smoking Gun. Okay. You're just gonna have to bear with me. A Florida man hid meth in his name literally is Shaft Bang Adams. That's how he's been ID'd, and he was busted for drug possession after rocks of crystal meth were found in his male copulatory organ. Swear to you. This is a Smoking Gun. This is an actual, oh my gosh, and that was so Freudian and I didn't mean for it to be. 30-year-old Shaft Bang Adams, he was arrested for this, suspended or revoked license, booked in Orange County Jail, a misdemeanor. And he's got a long list of priors. He's got delivery of cocaine, possession of he's a convicted felon, so he's got multiple felony gun charges. And he was subjected during the intake process to a strip search in which a correctional officer reported finding four crystal rocks, white in color, inside his dude area. Yeah. So he's back behind bars. So the crazy thing is that he got a felony charge for possession of meth and he got a felony charge for introducing contraband into a penal institution. Oh, boy. Yeah, and shut up. And then he spent 8 days in custody. He posted $2,000 bond. And then he was rearrested because he got charged with cocaine possession and resisting arrest. That's dedication.
Yeah, it is.
Like, that's real dedication. Like, that's for real. That's real dedication.
It's prison currency.
Man, I'm telling you. Everything I'm going to say is just going to be so bad. Okay, so let's just move on here. A Florida man attacks a victim with a jar of salsa at a 7-Eleven and stole a Choco Taco.
Oh.
Man, Choco Tacos are delicious. Can we just have a sidebar for a moment and just appreciate the treasure that is the Choco Taco? St. Pete police, a 31-year-old man, a convicted felon, he attacked a customer for no reason, like totally unprovoked, just lost it. And he began to walk around the store, opened a freezer door, took out a Choco Taco, and began going to Flavor Town. And then investigators say that that's when he also grabbed a 15-ounce jar of Tostitos salsa made by the Tostitians from the shelf and threw the glass jar at another customer in the store. That actually, the jar actually broke on the victim's back, cut them. They got salsa everywhere. So he got charged with battery and petty theft with two or more priors. But yeah, the Choco Taco, he was booked in the Pinellas County Jail, $4,500 bond. Fascinating stuff, I tell you. Nobody knows what like just started it. He just decided he's going to get sassy, I guess. We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere.
Because I find this outrageous. Facebook banned any post for 4 months about COVID coming from a lab. Of course, now even the Biden administration is looking into this.
Right.
Google, a Wall Street Journal reporter asked the head of Google's health division, notice that they don't do autofill searches for coronavirus lab leak the way they do it for any other question. And the guy said, well, we want to make sure the search isn't leading people down pathways that we would find to be not authoritative information. Well, you were wrong, Google and Facebook. Right. We don't know. The reason why we want you is because we're checking on this. He said, we want to ensure the first thing users see is information from the CDC, the WHO. That's who I'm checking on.
I'm not a fan of Bill Maher. I'm not a fan of Bill Maher until he actually apologizes for that, repeating that sexist garbage from that weird pervert who emailed me and was like, can I work with you? Can I represent you? And I'm like, I have an agent who has more contacts than you do. Can you please stop contacting me? And then he, like, after Parkland, this guy, he's like, he worked with Geostorm. So I don't know. That's the only thing I know. He went and told like everybody, tried to sell a story. This pervert, I guess, was like selling a story or something to Daily Mail and everyone that I wanted to do a sitcom with him. I'm like, who are you? I have an agent. Why would I go to some like nobody Z-list, whatever it is that you do, and ask for you to do something I've never had any intention of doing? And Bill Maher, I guess he saw the story in Daily Mail, repeated it as though it was gospel truth on his show. So Bill Maher can have a bag of a bunch of unmentionables before I will ever take him seriously. Thoughts and prayers, Bill. Thoughts and prayers. No, I ain't doing that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. And make sure you go subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. That is ye old newsletter. Yeah, that made me angry because I knew him. I've been on his show and he actually repeated that. And I'm like, who? I'm like, my agent's at one of the biggest talent agencies in the world. He's like, the agent you want in broadcasting. Why would I ever in the world? What? It was just gross. But that just goes to show you progressive males in entertainment are disgusting. Disgusting. Like, the guy was a total creeper. I was so uncomfortable with him emailing me. It was so inappropriate. And I'm just like, ugh. And then I never saw it again until that happened. Ugh. Anyway, but there's some truth to the statement that other people have been saying for a long time, that there's this issue with big tech. What is it, Right Wing Watch? Though they're hateful people. They are so mad. I'm trying to figure out how I want to troll them. Because they said our efforts to expose the bigoted view and dangerous conspiracy theories spread by the white right wing has resulted in YouTube banning our channel and removing our videos. And they said we appealed the decision and we were rejected. Well, because they are trolls. The stuff that they say in their videos, they don't even bother fact checking. So I'm not surprised. But I really want to retweet it and just say thoughts and prayers, because here you are. These people are absolute, some of the biggest cheerleaders for cancel culture. And now they're mad that it actually happened to them. They are mad that it happened to them. Just very interesting to me with this. So the good heavens, there's a lot of stuff to discuss with everything that's been going on, including the building, the Surfside building in Florida, which is awful. I saw photos of the extent of the damage. Now, if you aren't aware of everything that happened, it was a condo building. And didn't it start, from what I understand, from everything that I've read so far, the initial problem began with like a leaky pool, and then that ended up undermining the entire structure, something to that. I mean, it just looks so bad. This thing collapsed in the middle of the night. The death toll, the death count is up to 10. There's like 150 some odd people missing. And that number fluctuates as people are able to figure out if some of their loved ones who were visiting there or staying there, if they were somewhere else. But the death toll hasn't. The death toll has not fluctuated. And I watched a press conference a little bit earlier with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And then they also had the mayor there of Surfside. And this, I saw this piece from the Washington Post, Hannah Dreyer, and I thought this was absolutely just disgusting. This woman, this is why people have such a problem with the media. I watched as I, because this actually, I mean, this post exploded, her tweet exploded, and she had put out there somehow she was trying to figure out how she could make Ron DeSantis somehow responsible for this. And her tweet that she had put out there was that there's a saying in emergency management, the first 24 hours are the only 24 hours. FEMA was ready to deploy to the condo collapse almost immediately and included the crisis in its daily briefing, but didn't get permission from Governor DeSantis to get on the ground for a full day. That was the tweet that went out, and it is entirely garbage. There's not a single, I mean, when racing to put out something that, and I'm looking at her tweet now, racing that to put out something that's not even in any way remotely accurate. Because there is a record, and this is my friend Charles Cook over at National Review has been writing about this big effort to try to constantly skewer Ron DeSantis ahead of 2024. And so what he notes the same thing that everybody else's do, because the emergency declaration, it goes from the local government and then it goes to the state government and then it goes to the federal government. And they have the paperwork. I'm literally looking. It shows the paperwork, the PDF, Miami-Dade County Declaration of Local Statement of Emergency. And it says it was signed and acted by the county mayor. And the time was approximately 4:33 p.m. Eastern time. Ron DeSantis signed it almost the moment that it got into his office, not even a full hour later. And that is the standard pattern. And this is one thing that my friend Cook notes. This is the standard pattern. That's the protocol and the timeline. The disaster was first reported. This was 1:30 a.m. on June 24th. Within minutes, Miami-Dade County rushed to the site. 2:30 a.m., Florida Emergency Management Division were activated. By 8 a.m., with the Emergency Management Department already in overdrive, DeSantis called the mayors of Surfside and Ball Harbor. By 11, he was in Surfside reviewing the situation, meeting with the mayor, asking what else could be done. And then at 4:33 p.m., the mayor signed the local emergency declaration and DeSantis was asked to sign one for the state, which he did. He did within that hour. He issued that declaration. And then the following morning, on June 25th, Biden signed the authorization to deploy FEMA. There is not a single person at any level of that entire process that has complained about that process. It went as fast as it could go. And what gets me is that all of the media, like Hannah Dreyer writes this about the Washington Post, over at Washington Post, she goes after Ron DeSantis and says, oh, well, he, you know, waited and didn't do anything. There's not a single, notice how everyone who is a Democrat and is involved in this is exempt from any kind of this ridiculous petty partisanship. The mayor, the county mayor is a Democrat. By the way, they all have praised each other's work. And the county mayor has been, I just watched a press conference where they were equally gracious towards one another. But it's insane. This is insane. And the idea, and two, I'll say this. I don't believe that this is an issue of, I don't think that you can necessarily, I don't think you can blame it on the mayor either. Now, normally, I know everyone's first response is to say, And is to say that, oh, well, it's a Democrat mayor. What did you expect? And my friend Charles Cook gets into that in his piece. His whole thing is you can't politicize this. And I think he's correct. The reason being, from what I understand, that the mayors are, the Surfside and Ball Harbor's mayors weren't even elected until like a couple of years after that condo, that building, had been inspected and passed inspection. Who is the inspector? Who is in charge of, who was the building official? Who were the people that were green lighting and saying you pass inspection? That's why you have these people in these positions, because not the mayor doesn't do everything. The, you know, the governor doesn't do everything. The president doesn't do everything. That's why the president has governors. That's why the governors, that's why you have mayors. That's why you have, so it's all localized. I think that it is wrong to blame the Democrat mayors here. They were elected after they were assured by this building inspector. And I don't, I have they even shown the inspection report? I know that they said at the press conference today that, and I think it was the, I think it was the Ball Harbor mayor who said this. I may be incorrect on this, but I think it was the Ball Harbor mayor. They said that they were taking every bit of documents, the mayors, everything that they had on this building, and they were going to make it public so that everybody could see, like, the inspections, everything. So I guess that that is where that report's going to come in. Now, here's what's interesting. Miami Herald has a story on the local building official who was in charge at the time of the building inspection. And his name is Ross Prieto. He was the local building official who was in charge. He assured residents. They got, the Miami Herald had a document noting, quote unquote, major structural damage to the building. He assured residents at a town meeting that the building was in good shape. But one of the things that Cook says is that that on page 7 of the document, it wasn't mentioned anywhere else that there was major structural damage. And the Washington Post said it was a longtime engineer hired by the town of Surfside to analyze possible causes of the tower collapse. That whole report should have been, that should have been immediately advanced, and everything should have stopped then. And that's where attention comes into play, is that because it was buried on page 7. So I actually don't even think that this is, I agree with Cook. This is not an issue. This is not government regulation. It's government. It's dereliction of duty by apparently what would seem this local official. Because I can't imagine, think about this. Florida is a very competitive state. I can't imagine a Democrat or a Republican or whoever party needs to get out of this where they would want some, where they would allow something like this to happen. Nobody. So that's where hopefully we don't have to have idiotic reports like this from Hannah Dreier. This is just absolutely irresponsible. If I was running the Washington Post, I'd send her packing that day. That's irresponsible.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So, how it started, this is from July 1st, 2020. De Blasio on shifting $1 billion from NYPD. We think it's the right thing to do. And how it's going. Bill de Blasio said just this afternoon, quote, we are going to flood the zone in Times Square with additional officers to combat increasing crime in Times Square. Really weird. Goodness. Very interesting. So that's just how it started and how it's going. Also, a high demand for ice is leaving some Hawaii businesses and suppliers facing, really, a shortage, an ice shortage. Extremely high demand for ice. They said the challenge to meet those demands is trickling down to local businesses in Hawaii. They said that, like, for instance, Shimazu Shaved Ice said that this is the first time we've never had any ice. And because their business is literally a shaved ice business, they couldn't open. They said, we're only doing small and kid sizes. That's another ice place. So they're having they said that they think demand's going to stabilize in September after everybody goes home from vacation. And yeah, I'm sure it will. Yeah. A passenger allegedly bit 2 TSA agents, and the agency's reminding travelers to remain respectful. All about respect. Don't be grabbing my bits and pieces. Don't be grabbing my bits and pieces when I go through, because I have, like, you know, big for random searches, right? How many times have we had this discussion? But seriously, people, I mean, still be nice, but be, you know, when you want to resist, do so peacefully and civilly. Don't bite anyone because that's disgusting and people are gross. Just saying. The fairness, U.S. women's soccer team made more than the men's team. Did you guys know that? I knew that because I've written pieces about it. I know. And did you hear about this woman who totally disrupted the Tour de France? This woman had a giant cardboard sign and she was hanging over the rope and knocked down. I mean, it was an absolute nightmare. I mean, tons of bicyclists, they crashed, tons of them fell, and one of them had to withdraw. One bike was ruined. I can't believe somebody has to be told this. It's crazy. They're looking for her. All right, up next, Stephen Yates. Stick with us.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse. We were discussing the situation with these strikes that had taken place a little bit earlier. This is on Sunday when it was announced that the United States had taken out these strikes against some of these Iranian-backed proxies. And this, as I was saying, it feels as though it just was kind of just a not a serious effort. It seemed as though this was just kind of a retaliation, sort of, in a way, from the Biden administration after they've been trying so desperately to get some kind of agreement with Tehran before the new administration took over. And he's already eased a number of the economic sanctions, and that really didn't provide any momentum for any of this. And so now we're in the position that we're in. But it just seemed, I mean, it just seemed kind of, I don't know. It just seemed weird. For the meaning of this, let's talk to our friend Stephen Yates. He is he's a foreign policy expert, a strategist, and he previously advised former VP in the Bush administration, Dick Cheney, on in this whole area, and you can follow him on Twitter at Yates.com. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you. What do you make of the Sunday night announcement from the administration, these airstrikes that were carried out in Iraq and Syria, because and going after some of these Iranian-backed proxies? Because it just, to me, it just seems kind of odd, especially after Biden had worked so hard to try to get some kind of agreement established with Iran's president-elect. And it seems like they were really working against the clock before that new, I guess, administration took office. How do you break this down?
Well, Dana, I think your initial reaction was similar to mine in the sense that it is kind of a bolt out of the blue. This is one of those things that there hadn't really been talked much about. There's nothing in new Biden administration foreign policy strategy or priorities that would have suggested something like this would happen. There may even be members of the Biden administration, shock of all shocks, who argued against doing these kinds of things when, say, the Trump administration launched attacks against bad actors in Iraq that were linked to Iran and other things in the past. But I think it's hard to look at anything that's done by the Biden administration, first and foremost, outside of the domestic political lens. I think the dominant way to look at this is the wag the dog scenario of where things in the domestic narrative are really kind of moving in a bad direction, from the president hunched over and whispering oddly into microphones to critical race theory going, I think, largely against them, voter ID going largely against them. And here's a commander-in-chief like moment that sort of zaps the system and the narrative. That to me is sort of the dominant part. But when it comes to a commander-in-chief and decision-making, I actually kind of support the idea of presidents being commander-in-chief when it comes to strikes. If bad guys are doing things that threaten the safety of our troops, strike hard, strike disproportionately, just don't occupy other countries or try to govern them. That's my main hang-up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with this, too, just I'm just not I get the impression last on this that from this, I guess, president elect of the country, are they not? I mean, what is that? Why does there feel like there's some kind of like animosity there between the new administration coming into Iran and our current one? I mean, it was Obama Biden that created that deal, or not really deal with Iran. So you think there would be some friendliness there?
You would think that, but, you know, in some ways, the clearest form of rationality coming of the theocratic regime in Iran is if you are weak, we will be aggressive. I think weakness is, in fact, provocative. If you are strong, they may say mean words at you, but they get boxed back in, whether it's the Israelis launching successful measures, computer systems, or whether it's our forces taking out the kingpins of terror and military manipulation in the region. When you're forceful, as the previous administration was, at striking hard at their areas of weakness that deserve it, then Iran may say bad things, but they're doing fewer bad things. This, I think, with the overly solicitous willingness to reopen negotiations, they say they're going for a longer and stronger deal, but I think the Iranians just see it as a bigger and bigger moment of opportunity to extract more.
Yeah, absolutely. Extracting more, switching to a different part of the world, and this obviously is right in your wheelhouse. Really, absolutely catastrophic news coming from China with the closure of Apple Daily. I mean, I think this was over 25 years Apple Daily was around. This was, of course, Jimmy Lai's brainchild. And for all of our discussions, Stephen, that we have on Legacy Press, this was actually a publication that did what the free press, what we envisioned the free press doing here in the United States, holding those who are in positions of power, people in government, accountable and telling the citizenry exactly what was going on with their government. And Apple Daily, especially after they passed that, they criminalized criticizing the Communist Party of China here with their security law. Now it's all different. Jimmy lies in a prison cell. What was his charge? Something like unauthorized protest or assembly or something like that. Now Apple Daily's closing because after all of, you know, when they passed the security law, you can't even criticize the CCP. They've effectively ended any measure of being able to inform the citizenry as to what's actually going on in their government. This is bigger in more ways than one because, I mean, China, obviously, this is an expansionist Marxism. And we see it here in our own country with Nike. Now Nike saying, oh, well, we're a company for China and of China. And with NBA and with even Major League Baseball, who they're doing business with, entertainment. This is a huge issue. And the fact that Apple Daily fell, I mean, I just don't know if anything is really so monumental in terms of, you know, real effect and also optics in this battle between Marxism and the West. What is your takeaway with all this?
Well, Dana, we've talked a number of times about Jimmy Lai and Apple Daily and the situation in Hong Kong. I just can't stress enough, as someone who has been personally a friend of Jimmy Lai and dealt with the people in his enterprise and his circle of influence since the 1990s, just in a way, you know, these are human beings, and it kind of hurts to watch someone who has done so much to employ so many, to inform and encourage so many, had the means to go anywhere in the world, could easily have escaped, lived on hundreds of millions of dollars in wealth, if not more, and he chose to stay and fight, and he is now likely to live out the rest of his days in a prison there unless something surprising changes. What a difference to the commitment of the principles that we say we believe in and sort of the woke morons that are out there that have their fake virtue signaling and have sacrificed and lived nothing. Here's someone who literally had it all, twice gave it up in the name of freedom for the people that he loves in China. And it's, to me, it's awe-inspiring and tragic at the same time. But you're also right that this is way bigger than just the story of Jimmy Lai and the Apple Daily, the newspaper. This is the Chinese Communist Party's operations of absolute control and destruction of the Western model of free markets, rule of law, free press, freedom of speech. That's what they're wrecking. And it's the attack on institutions. That's what the extension of the Cultural Revolution before under Mao and what Xi Jinping is doing today with more money, more technology, and unfortunately, the disgusting endorsement of major corporations. I just can't even begin to say how revolting that statement from Nike is. We have so much work to do to be proud of and reclaim our own culture and way of life in the United States. We're not alone in it, but China is also not attacking us alone. These things are under attack in Australia and the UK. It's really the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, versus the free world. Hong Kong is the canary in the coal mine, and it's really close to being snuffed out. And I don't think we should give up, but we have to realize what the threat is. This is a war declared by them, not by us.
We're talking to our friend Stephen Yates, a foreign policy expert, and of course, you know, Radio Free Europe. You were at Radio Free Europe for a spell, and I mean, they clearly disliked you in your position over there. Maybe it's just because I'm cynical, or maybe it's just because it was just to see a huge iconic city like Hong Kong be consumed in the press. I mean, we watched what was happening live. We saw live streams and video on Twitter and on Instagram and Snapchat and everywhere else, and they can just consumed this major iconic city. And I just think they did it without really so much as a wrist slap from any other country on the planet. What hope is there for anyone else to ever stand up to CCP if we are just going to kind of shrug our shoulders and be like, there's another city that they took? I mean, if it ever comes to that with Taiwan, I think will the same thing happen? Will the world just shrug its shoulders and think, well, so long as it's over in that type of the world? But that's just the thing. It's not. I mean, am I just being too much of a fatalist about this? Because I just really don't see, I'm not encouraged by a single world leader.
Well, I can't argue with that judgment. I do have an inkling of optimism in my being about this, just because, right or wrong, I think that there is a point at which things get pushed and the awesome, overwhelming response of the United States and the free world can kick in. I don't know where that is or how it will be marshaled, certainly not under current leadership, and that is gravely, gravely disappointing. But it's also true that they've already done a lot of this. They've co-opted education in America. They've co-opted media entertainment in America. And so in some ways, the seeds that co-opted Hong Kong aren't beginning in America. They've already been present and have a staying impact in America. So we've got our work cut out to do here. And then when a stronger America with stronger friends have an opportunity to help these poor people, who I think will continue to resist in Hong Kong. They won't be able to be an international financial hub, but I don't think they're going to go quietly. The 2 million people that hit the street aren't just rolling over. They might be biding their time, and they might be afraid because the world has not done anything to really help them so far.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. And here in the United States, there are so many people who are failing to speak out. And you mentioned Jimmy Lai. I compare him to people like LeBron James or, you know, people who are up in the higher echelon of the NBA or Major League Baseball or Disney or anybody in Hollywood, because so many people are, for instance, working with Tencent. And I just think these people have, to put it just very starkly, they are so much more inconsequential than somebody like Jimmy Lai. These people are not as wealthy. They haven't created as much as Lai has. And yet he's willing, very much in the spirit of the founders, to put it all on the line to stand up against tyranny. Whereas all of these people who live in this secure little cradle of free speech, where if anyone could really push back against Communist Party of China, it would be within the cradle of liberty here in the United States. And they don't do so because they're so much more worried about that bottom dollar. And that's what is depressing. The whole thing's depressing, Stephen. I don't have anything nice to say.
I'm always the bringer of good news and the addresser of happy topics. But this is unfortunately the world as it presents itself to us now. We have major platforms given to incredibly spoiled and sanctimonious and selfish people. And unfortunately, those who live the counterexample of true Christ-like love or true love of their fellow being and service and sacrifice, things that have allowed civilization to grow and move forward, they're treated as the outliers or they're ignored or what have you. But I just implore anyone willing to listen, dig into the bio of Jimmy Lai, dig into what these people are doing. This matters for them. It'll matter for you. And it will help us build a better world together, not to sound too Pollyannish about it, but build a better America around these same beliefs too, because this is all the stuff of common values that made the world great.
Yeah, I hope people recognize that sooner rather than later. I really do. Stephen Yates at YatesComms on Twitter. Always a pleasure, Stephen. This Happy News Monday, I tell you. I may have to change like some of your intro music to like Portishead or Garbage whenever they say I'm only happy when it rains. Maybe we may have to shake it up a bit. It's good to talk with you.
That's perfect. Thank you, Dana. Take care.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
DanaLash.com. Tomorrow I'll tell you about how heat is apparently something also now to argue about over equity versus equality. Heat, dude. Heat. Why is it's like people are going out of their way to try to find divisive things. Stop it. Just stop it.
It's the new grift.
It's like, do you like the person sitting next to you? You do? Okay, it's all good. Shut up. Everett, just get the heck along. These people are turning me into an old man. Like old man mentality. You know what I mean? Get off my lawn. I get why old people say that now. Yeah. Like when I was younger, I mean, we'd all make fun of them saying that, but now I get it. Mm-hmm. I help them get people off your lawn. I get it now, right? Everybody get off my lawn. Oh my gosh. I know we got to Dane's stupidity, but man, save some prayers for my sweet pup Louie, because we find out whether or not all of his seizures are due to a liver enzyme or if it's a something that is cannot be repaired. All right, to Dane's stupidity, Kane.
Poor guy. All right, so
on that happy note.
Yeah, no kidding. So we all know there's a big spike in crime. That's no secret. Everybody's talking about it, but AOC says no, it's just hysteria. That's all it is.
We are seeing these headlines about percentage increases. Now, I want to say that any amount of harm is unacceptable and too much. But I also want to make sure that this hysteria, you know, that this doesn't drive a hysteria and that we look at these numbers in context.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, for the love.
That's what we've been doing. And it's Democrat policies. So thanks, AOC, for your stupidity today.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. This is why ridicule needs to... don't be afraid of ridicule. It's a really wonderful thing. DanaLash.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Sign up for that newsletter. Have a great night.